going to disappear today. Not so. Liberty will never go away. But any given people have a right to do whatever they wish to do, and if they want to throw it away, that's their choice. Nevertheless, it won't disappear. And not only that, but God would be not God if he allowed liberty to disappear, because then he'd have nothing to judge, and he'd have no one to judge by. So he's going to keep his standard. Now, the only question for you is whether you are part of that standard and you want to be free or you want to be a slave. It boils down to simplicity. The founding fathers, for example, knew exactly what the issue was with England. It was slavery or freedom, period. Nothing else. Nothing else. Had nothing to do with what kind of government and all that. It had to do, do you want to be a slave of England or do you want to be free in America and throw off the English devil? And they had to decide sooner or later that King George III was a tyrant, that he broke his word, he broke his covenant. They didn't rebel, he did. Very important argument, and I'll get to that later. Today we want to look at the 18th century. As the 17th century disappears, the 18th century is called, usually, the Age of Reason. That's when men became enlightened, they became rational, and they began to think that, you know, even without God, we could probably figure stuff out. And that's not all a bad idea, by the way, that men are actually able, on their own, without God's help, to come up with a whole bunch of stuff. You can see it today. You can see what's happening today when you ignore God and begin to make up your own mind. But I want to tell you something. It's not easy. Even when Christians begin to grow and develop, they mess up big time. They mess up big time. And they themselves can't figure it out. So I wouldn't at all criticize those that are trying to make something out of this world without God. I think a lot of the reason they're wanting to do it without God is because they watched us with God. And because they watched us with God mess up worse than any of them have ever messed up. I think then you have to re-look at history as well as at yourself. So you can actually live without God, but not really. Not really. In the end, here's the problem with reason. Reason always becomes unreason. That's a problem with reason. In other words, there's always reasons why I should and then reasons why I shouldn't. So reason can't figure it out. In the end, it's going to take a will just to do it. Somebody who's a businessman cannot be rational and say, well, I'm going to add up all the positives, all the negatives. You can't, because you can never establish with finality what is absolutely certain, what are actually the facts. Science has this problem as well. So you can never come to a final conclusion with reason. There's always reasons on this side and reasons on this side. And anybody can argue the case, black, white, this, that. So the problem with reason is not a good God. Reason, unfortunately, always becomes irrationality. You can start out with rationalism in the 17th century, 18th century, but you'll end up with irrationalism in the 19th century. Sooner or later, you'll come into existentialism, banalism, homosexuality, debauchery, and so on. Because reason can't hold its own. Without some foundation, man on his own has to take every thought captive to the Word of God. If you don't, and of course you don't have to. I didn't grow up with God. I didn't grow up with any God at all. Zero. I didn't fear God. I didn't know God. Didn't care about God. Didn't have any conscience. I had no guilt. Didn't mind cheating, lying, stealing. Nothing to me. But that's a dead-end street. I didn't learn that by becoming a Christian. I learned that by not becoming a Christian. I learned that by getting everything I wanted. I wasn't a loser. I was actually a winner. And when you win, that's when you learn you didn't win anything. That's called a Pyrrhic victory. A Pyrrhic victory is after you've won the battle, you realize you just lost the war. Or after you've won the war, you realize it's an empty win. So don't. It's okay. Those are all Hispanics out there having a good time. Reasonable people. Now, the age of reason then does not really replace religion. It just simply is a challenge to it. Whether you'll put God first, you're going to put reason first. And in the civil world, there's nothing wrong with reason because that's all you have. And if you try to set up a God, religion, state, you are going to mess up, not only in fact, but against God. God does not want his civil government, that's his left hand, does not want his civil government run by religious people. Now, he did try that one time in the Old Testament. Remember how that turned out? He gave that idea up. By the time of Jesus, Jesus did not make himself king. He did not make himself odious to the public power. In fact, he taught us the opposite. Render unto Caesar what belongs to Caesar. Hey, show me the coin. Whose image and picture is this? Well, render to him what belongs to him. So he did not challenge. He said to Pilate, my kingdom's not of this world. So the church is his kingdom, not the world. Well, you say he's Lord of the world. Yes, of course. But he decided he'd mess with the church first and see if he couldn't make a church. Now, he's been so bogged down on that job that he hasn't had time to get over to the world yet. Did y'all see that? Now, it's because we're more stubborn than the world. The wicked, nasty, filthy, shallow, hypocritical world is nothing compared to us. And I showed you in the 17th century how when finally the Christians got in power, how they messed it up. And they couldn't figure out what to do with all the religions. Now, I've drawn a little picture here of all the crazy religions that were there and why no government can ever be stable. Never. Ever. Never has and never will be. So that means government itself can never function. It doesn't matter how much it functions. It'll always have the weakness. It has iron. That's the force, the strength, the public force that we all give to government. But it also has clay. You remember the big statue? And there was feet. And in the feet, there was clay. And unfortunately, iron and clay don't mix. It's just a problem. It's just hard to fuse them. Even with Gorilla Glue. Even with super glue. You know, it's just hard to fuse them. So, of course, the Bible was written before there was Gorilla Glue. But anyway. So every government will always be weak in its feet. In other words, when you see not its head, how it starts, but where you see where it ends up. Every government, including America. Because you can't figure out what to do with religion, and you don't know what to do with the clay. Every government has clay feet. So it's unfortunate that it's always corruptible because of the clay. It isn't the iron that's the problem. It's that the clay is the problem. So can a rational man then get rid of the clay in order to just have the iron? I think not. A man like Adolf Hitler decided, hey, I'll just call myself God, Führer, the Emperor, whatever. And many men in history have decided to do that. All of this has a history, however. Unless you study the history, which I have, but unless you study the history, you can't see how day by day, hour by hour, country by country, everybody's worked on this stuff. Now, it'll never work, and we can find out why. But what? Look at the complexity here just on religion itself. No government's ever figured out what to do with religion, including America, by the way. America also has not decided what to do. Theories are one thing, but practice is quite another. So there is no such thing as a free church. Okay? Only in the mind of God, only in the mind of God, our church is free. Now, I'm free. This church is free. But in the eyes of the world, you're never free. Now, I want to illustrate this very clearly. First of all, there's the free churches. That's us. There's our Dallas church. There's our Fort Worth church, and so on and so forth. So we're the good guys. So do y'all got that clear? We're the good guys. Then there's the Roman Catholic Church. That's a big, monstrous type church that at one time was the international church for over 1,000 years. 1,000 years, they were able to dominate economy, politics, and religion. That's an amazing feat. I mean, you got to hand it to them. That is an amazing feat. To be able to totally dominate men's minds, their bodies, their everything. Rather remarkable. Well, we overthrew those guys because of the corruption and the pollution and the tyranny and so on and so forth. Nevertheless, even though we came up with the Bible wasn't for bad stuff, it's not so easy to figure out how to be a free church. Oh, one way you can do it, I don't know if any of you will be interested in this, one way is to suffer. What do you think of that? No, this a good idea, huh? Well, that'll set you free anyway. Another way is not to. So you can choose one of these. So let's look at the not to's. The Protestant churches of Christendom, they're not Roman Catholic, but still they have some leftovers from Constantine, the emperor, back in 330. And so their Constantinian mean they're state churches. So it could be Lutheran, that was the first one. Could be Calvinist, that was the second one, all the Presbyterian types. Or it could be, number three, Anglican. Now, the Anglicans just recently had a big split, and they divided down the middle in America and so on. It's big, big chaos. But all the churches have done it, and all the churches will continue to do it. More chaos ahead. You all okay with that? So even though you avoid suffering, you'll actually end up suffering anyway. So it doesn't really matter whether you want to avoid it or not. In the world, you have trouble, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. So learn in trouble to be of good cheer. How many know how to rejoice in the midst of trouble? Okay, but religion is not why you'd get it. It isn't a religious deal. Because here's the Roman Catholics, here's the Protestants, free churches, dissident churches, Baptists, Quakers, cut off nose, cut off ears, and so on. They used to be non-tolerated, non-legal, non-conformist, non-public. You can meet in private places, maybe, maybe not. It depends on what the government thinks of you, pretty much. SS troops or Russian KGB, well, it happens here in America as well. There are just certain groups that you might not want. So half of America wants total toleration of all groups, atheists, communists, everybody. And then the other half wants to just have the good guys, and then most of the good Christian-type people or other religions, as long as they behave themselves. That's a real problem, isn't it? Who's going to decide what behave yourself means if you're Muslim? Does it mean I can cut off somebody's hand because they stole? That's in their Quran. So why is the Quran false and the Bible true? A Christian would say so, but would a Muslim? I'd think not. So now you have the world, a billion of them saying, cut off hand. So it's a real chaos out there. Are you all aware of this? Why should I tell you about this? I could tell you nicer sermons and nice messages, but you need to know the truth. Because I'm going to tell you something. There's a storm coming. And it's bigger than anything you've seen before. So anything you know of history, I'm just going to tell you, the biggest one is still yet to come. A tsunami. It will be an enormous tsunami. But it'll be great for us because we're prepared, right? You've been so beat up by Pastor Jim that you're ready for anything. You'll be okay. Because you've learned to rejoice no matter what. You've also learned that you never lose, you always win. Now, if you don't know that, I don't mean intellectually, but I mean in your heart. If you don't know that, you'll have problems. Multitudes in the valley of decision. So that's all Armageddon. That's all, you know, some future type of thing that could happen next month. But even so, you got plenty of time between now and next month. Now, the problem is you got all of these weirdo type churches, and nobody knew what to do with them. Then you have other religions like Jewish. There's a traditional, older than Roman Catholic religion. And I meet regularly with the rabbi over in Fort Worth. I taught yesterday at the Hebrew Torah school, so I know a lot about Hebrew. I read Hebrew because the Old Testament's still with us. It's part of our Bible. It's two-thirds of it. And unless you understand the roots, you won't understand the fruits or lack thereof. And one of the problems today in the church is we've lost our Jewish heritage. Judeo-Christian, you've heard people say that, but they mean all kinds of things by it, so it's not worth figuring out what they mean. But the Jewish religion, is that different than all other religions? Or is that just another religion like Hindu, Buddhist, etc.? And especially today, Muslim. Because the Muslim religion now is making a comeback. they got a lot of clients, a lot of customers. Babies help. Yeah, so that was the old Catholic idea, and it's apparently a Muslim idea too. Get as many babies as possible. So start having babies, especially you young people. Have some more babies. Get some more over there. We need lots of babies. It's just a population thing. The Roman Empire fell because not enough Italian babies. Probably don't understand that. But not enough Italian babies. Yeah. You don't die I guarantee you never die from overpopulation. You always die from underpopulation. Your civilization falls when you're underpopulated. The central state falls apart, and the satellite states always prevail and win. It's all always happens. So you can only hold your empire together so long and then you lose it. So America is now losing its empire. So it's a mad scramble now as who's going to be boss, who's going to have authority, who knows what they're doing. But America can no longer be America the Great. You know, we all knew we were the home of the brave and the free of the saved and, you know, whatever we are. But ain't true anymore because now we're divided and we're subdivided and we're sub-subdivided and so on. But you can see why, because look at all this craziness. What do you do with atheists? What about deists? How about those that are just agnostic? What about free thinkers? What about someone that doesn't have a religion at all? They're not against him or they're not for him. They didn't know what to do with them all. So if you set up a colonial empire over in England, it's not going to work. And if you try to set it up, and they did, they set it up. They killed the king, chopped his head off right there. King Charles I chopped his head right off and got rid of kings. First time that England ever had no kings, except early on. Then there were just tribal chieftains. But now we got rid of all those guys. And now we had what? And nobody knew what to do. So they looked in the Bible. How many know that's a great place to look? When you don't know what to do, look in the Bible. I agree with that. However, it doesn't have any meaning. Look in the Bible. Everybody has their own idea what the Bible saith. Right? I mean, you can't tell that what I'm saying is the truth. There's no way you can tell, so I have to tell you. I'm telling you the truth. Now you're better. All right, so we're okay. No, there's no way to know. How would you check? Unless you knew what a dollar bill was, how would you check and know that was a counterfeit? You don't study counterfeits. You have to study the real thing to know what's not the real thing. Well, unless you know the truth, how could you know the truth? You can't. So that's a problem. You see the limits we have? But God is still working out his purposes. 16th century pure doctrine was restored. Man is not saved by works, what he does, by not sinning. That is not how man gets saved. He's saved by faith that Jesus, who did no sin, was not himself a big shot, but was a servant of all. That is the right way. And he did that not for himself, but he did it for you and me. Well, that was a new doctrine. That was a new idea. No, it wasn't. It was as old as the hills. It was what he originally started out with the first couple hundred years, but it soon got lost, and works replaced it. Soon, because the Jewish idea was always works. And so the Catholic Church then returned to that idea, works. Because works works. If you tell people to do something, they appreciate it because they don't know what to do. When you're independent and free, you don't know what to do. How many know if you leave a child to himself, he doesn't know what to do? Doesn't know what to do. I'll tell you one thing he's not going to do. He's not going to do the right thing. But he doesn't know what to do. He just sits there and he's going to do something. So we have a problem today in that there's no authority. The whole modern world is without authority. Number one problem, no authority. Number two problem, no authority. Number three problem, no authority. That's the problem right there is, well, what is authority? If it isn't God, or it isn't the Bible, or it isn't reason, is it force? Is it military force? Well, that was the way Oliver Cromwell did it. He just set up a commonwealth, which was a great idea, because he followed the Old Testament. Unfortunately, the New Testament doesn't have such a thing. It doesn't have such a thing. So here are these Christians who were the Calvinists, who are rather severe type people. They feel, let's follow the Bible, doctrine and life, and let's do it all right. And then let's set up our governments in the same way. We'll rule by the Bible. We'll have the judges rule by Bible and have Christians rule by Bible, and we'll tell which Christians aren't the true ones and false. There you had a real mess. So now they're using force to force people to believe something they don't believe. You can't force a man against his own opinion or against his own will. You can force him, yes, but you're just forcing him outwardly to be a hypocrite. So that's all the Queen of England wanted, Elizabeth I. And that's all they want today, just have hypocrites. In other words, just agree outwardly, even though you don't agree inwardly. Be a Roman Catholic if you want, but just be a good Anglican. Be a Baptist if you want, but just be a good Anglican. In other words, just conform to the public church and don't worry about reality. Did you know that there are people that are hypocrites? Not in this church. But did you know there are people that are hypocrites? Thank God we have none of them. We don't have any hypocrites in our church. Amen? If you are one, raise your hand. Okay. I knew we didn't have any. So, hypocrite, it's a funny word. All right. Now, I want to read this scripture out of Romans. There is therefore now no condemnation. There's no condemnation for them that are in Christ Jesus. Isn't that amazing? No condemnation. Has anyone here ever felt guilty or condemned? Stop it. That's a sin. Now that's a sin. When you sin, don't feel condemned. How many want to? You know, when you sin, you just want to. Or you don't even help yourself. You'll just feel condemned. What a jerk I am. What a jerk. God, can't believe I did that. What I accuse others of doing, here, I myself have done that. What a hypocrite I am. Now, don't feel guilty. And, number two, don't change. Don't feel guilty and don't change. Two of the biggest sins in Christendom today. Two of the biggest sins. Feeling guilty, what's that but play acting? Is that going to help you not to do it next time? So what does guilt do? Nothing. The most it could do is make you into a better hypocrite. You just be a more clever hypocrite next time. That's the most it could do. Does anybody could say amen to that? You know, just so religion basically is how to be a hypocrite. But where is the heart? Your lips, I hear your lips, but your heart is far from me, God says. So where are the heartfelt Christians who are truly, 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 truly in love with Jesus and not just hypocrites who are talking one thing but living quite another? Y'all familiar with what I'm saying? So hypocrisy is a big thing in the church, but who's going to decide who's a hypocrite and who's not? Do we even know ourselves? I mean, who can judge that one? Could Queen Elizabeth decide? Could Oliver Cromwell decide? You know, we're going to cut your nose off because you're a Quaker. How could he decide? And then when Oliver died, his son Richard was totally unable to be the military dictator that his father was and couldn't control the army, and so he lost the government. In other words, the government was propped up by the army. So it's just a military dictatorship. We've had lots of those. And that's one way to do it. But this one was a Christian military dictatorship, and that helps. Then when you sword somebody, you can say it in the name of Jesus and pray for him afterward. It's a much better situation. You feel a lot better, I'm telling you. So now you have all these crazy churches, and the only good ones are these two over here, ours. Those are the only good ones. How many know we're the only true good church? I mean, it's amazing that people can't see that. I don't know why. We should have the whole of Dallas here. I can't imagine. Why not? It could be, I don't know. This is somebody suggested. It could be the pastor, but I don't think so. I do not think that's the problem. So, poor God. I mean, you know, think of it from God's point of view. Here he has a church which was to be the light to the world, and it's only a two water. I mean, it's just not much of a light. Amen? I mean, look up and down your row and you can see why. There's not a lot of light in the church. Amen? Okay. But don't feel condemned and don't do anything. I'm just going to tell you right now, these are the two big sins. Do not feel condemned, because God just said it. Therefore, now there is no condemnation. And the Greek is even stronger. It starts out with the word no. No condemnation. So it doesn't even say, now there is therefore. That's afterward. So the emphasis is on the word in Greek. Always the first word is the most emphatic word. No condemnation. So, I mean, that's a strong forbidding. You shall not be condemned. Don't. So well. And number two, don't do anything about it. If you do the condemnation thing, then Jesus is of no value. So you just eliminated Jesus. And if you do it yourself and fix yourself up, then you didn't need the Holy Spirit because you had enough power and brains on your own. So if you condemn yourself, you're not doing a good thing. You're doing a stupid thing. First of all, it's not going to work at all. Second of all, God doesn't accept it. He already provided Jesus to cover all your sins. So true doctrine isn't working when you get to true life, because most of us believe the right things, but we're not able to do what we believe. We believe the right things. We even want to be Christians, but we aren't doing it. As anybody could say, amen. You know, so that's a problem with the churches today. And here's the problem. God is real stubborn. I mean, extremely stubborn. He's got an idea and he'll never change. He changeth not. So he still wants to have pure doctrine, pure life, free churches, you know, world ministry, et cetera, et cetera. I'm not going through all seven. And He's actually winning today, whether you know it or not. He actually is winning. And you are proof of some of it, at any rate. At least you believe the right things. You don't believe you're saved by your good works. Certainly not by your good looks. So you're not saved by anything good. You are saved purely by the mercy and grace of God. And you are wicked, nasty, shallow, and boring sinners. Yeah, you don't have anything going for you, but it's okay. You can just invent your life and so on. And it's a sin, but it's okay because that's all you can do unless Jesus Christ does it. He not only forgives you, but through the power of the Holy Spirit, he helps you to change. How many know you're not changed by changing? Beholding him, we are changed. Not doing anything. You notice beholding is passive. I'm just looking at something. Whatever I'm looking at, I become. If I look at my troubles, I'll become depressed. Did you hear what I just said? If I look at troubles, if I'm always thinking of troubles, if I'm troubled over the fact that I'm looking at troubles, I'm still going to be troubled. But if I'm looking at what is good, what is excellent, what is pure, what is noble, what is right, that is true, I will become changed by what I'm looking at, what I'm staring at, what I'm believing, what I'm contemplating. So, right doctrine should be followed by the right life or a holy life. And it is in many cases. You see people's lives that you go, well, that person believes, and they're actually living pretty much like that. But it's only pretty much. It's never perfect, and that's why we sin every day. I hope you're on the one-a-day sin plan. Is anybody here on that plan where you sin one a day? And it's permitted up until sundown, then it's a whole new thing. You have to start all over again. So try not to use them all up quickly because you only got one every 12 hours. Now, God knows you're going to sin. He put the Garden of Eden and put the tree right there in the middle so everybody walked by it every day and then said, don't. Now, what does God know? He knows everything. What does God know? What does God know? Before he even created mankind, before he even put the tree there, he already knew everybody was going to eat it. He already knew that. So what kind of a God do you have? An idiot God that would say don't eat of a tree that he knew you would eat out of and then put it right there in the middle of the garden instead of off to the side? Put it right there deliberately. Deliberately, consciously. And anybody who's ever had a child, you know that when you tell them not to do wrong, they're going to do wrong. Anybody's ever learned that? Anybody who's ever told themselves, now that's something I'm not going to do. Oh my God, that is powerful. That is a great way to become a contradiction to yourself. You're going to go crazy. You're going to go nuts because you are not able to stop what you don't want to do. And you're not able to do what you do want to do. Does anybody notice that? That's called hypocrisy is, well, I don't even believe in that. Why'd you just do it? I don't know. That is a problem. But I think I can justify mine. Did you know that you can justify any sin over time? No change at all, just simply over time. You can just kind of almost forget about it. And then even if God brings it up, you can have a little explanation for it. Well, look, I agree that that's a wrong thing. But let me tell you what my circumstance is right here. You may not understand it. Now, other people are wrong in doing it. But here's why I do it, and it's a little different. I want to know you can do that. That's how clever we are. We have clever minds, clever emotions, clever wills. We're just clever that way. But God sees right through it. And any explanation you come up with is still wrong. It's not going to change his mind. He still wants right doctrine, holy life, free churches, you know, worldwide ministry, the right government, the right everything. He just wants it right. And that's all. And he's not going to take anybody home with him who has done it wrong. And coming back for a bride without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Does anybody here have a wrinkle or a spot? I mean, just the smallest sin, then you're out. But of course, you can always say, I'm sorry. Forgive me. And he will, won't he? So, whew, thank God for that little thing we can always use whenever we need to. Sorry, sorry. And they might as well just make a recording. Sorry, 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 sorry. Because you know you're going to be sorry the whole rest of your life. So, you just want to put tape right on the buzzer. Sorry, 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 sorry. Because you don't want to waste time, wasting God's time, because it's the same thing. When do you ever have time for worship? Sorry, hallelujah, sorry, hallelujah, sorry, hallelujah. You just don't have time. Sorry, hallelujah. Yeah, I mean, you can't, you just can't do it. because we're always going to be sorry, right? Now, I'm not telling you the normal kind of pastor sermon, but I am telling you the truth. God knew you were going to sin. He made provision for that by sending Jesus. Jesus, who never sinned, died for all your sin, and you are completely, totally, 100% forgiven. Now, the problem is you can't stop there, and everybody does. But he knew that too. So God made provision for that too. What's interesting to me is not how ridiculous the church is or how wicked the world is. What's interesting to me is it all isn't that way. Why is there any hope? Why is there any life? Why is there any future at all? And why are you still here? Why are you still alive? And why are you still smiling? That's what's interesting to me. It's because of this truth. It'll set you free, is that you're not able to do whatever God wants you to do. You're not able to do anything he wants you to do. In fact, everything he said not to do, you've done, and everything he said to do, you didn't. So that puts you in a real dependent situation with God where you have to humble yourself and say, God, I don't deserve anything, but could you please bless me anyway? Does anybody notice that? Now, a lot of people think, God, I don't deserve anything, but I did 3 good things today, so I could get paid at least for that. God doesn't pay you for anything. You can only come before him wickedly and needfully and then let him give you a free gift because he loves doing it. He said that. I didn't say that. He said that. And I'm taking it at his word. I believe him. I believe God has saved the best to the last. I believe dessert always comes at the end. I think God has the best to the last. The good wine, he hadn't even brought out the good wine yet. All that other stuff is vinegar. I mean, that's just stuff to get you a little polluted and so on, so you don't know what you're doing, so you stop doing stuff. Then he brings out the good wine. Here, have some good wine. It's just like, God, I've already sinned so much. But God loves you. All right, listen to this. There's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Say, that's me. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free. There's the word free, eleuthero. Okay? Eleuthero in the Greek means to loose something. Like you have a cow tied to a tree, you untie it, loose it, and let it go free. Or you have something that you want to redeem or buy back, maybe like a mortgage, and you have the rights to buy it back. Okay, that's also called loosing it from the one and getting it for myself. So now it's free to me. I have it again. It's mine. Well, God wants to set everybody free from guilt, from shame, but also from wickedness. He actually wants to set you free. And you can't do it yourself, so don't feel condemned. Nor are you able to change, so don't feel at all like you got to do something. What would you do? Apart from me, Jesus said, you can do nothing. What can you do when you can do nothing? How much can you do when you can do nothing? Okay, you want to invest in this company? How much do you have? Nothing. Okay, that's the end. That's the end. You want to do something? What could you do? What are you able to do? I'd like to be married. Oh, my gosh. Don't. Because marriage will kill you. It'll just embarrass you. How many know that marriage embarrasses you? You just simply realize, you know what? I really don't know what I'm doing. I thought I could just muscle that thing down and make it happen. And we were both nice. We were both smart. We were both cute. It doesn't make any difference. I mean, even when men are taller, it doesn't make any difference. Did you know that men are taller often? It doesn't matter. And so what's going to make anything work? Who can run a government? Nobody's ever been able to. The best ones we've had are the ones that admit, I can't do it. Remember King Solomon said that? Jesus, I don't know what to do. I don't have a clue as to how to be king over this people. God says, that's a good beginning right there. That's a good beginning. I don't know what I'm doing when I got married. How many did not, don't raise your hand. How many did not know what you're doing when you got married? You didn't know what you're doing, especially men. I mean, especially men. Most men, I won't say every man, but maybe 100%. Most men are immature when they get married. They're not mature. The amazing thing to me is that a woman who's much smarter than a man would marry a man. It's just always amazing to me is if you're so smart, why did you marry this idiot? When you knew You knew what he was like, and then you married him, and you found out what you knew already. He wasn't ready. Oh, I see. You thought your love would change him. Oh, that is so clever. I see women really are smart. I can see how brilliant women are, that your love is going to change him. Lynn, don't get married. Don't get married. It's really a trick. You're happy right now being lonely and miserable. I'll tell you, get married, and then you'll be miserable that you aren't miserable anymore as a single. No. Marriage is a good thing. I love marriage. I'm in love. You actually can make it, but it's not because you did it. It's because you didn't did it. It's because God does everything. There's no condemnation for them that are in Christ Jesus. That takes care of the guilt. Now, also, when he sets you free, you shall be free indeed. If the Son shall set you free, John 8, if the Son shall set you free, you shall be free indeed. That's the same as Romans 8, which says, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath set me free. I'm free. But now, is that spiritual freedom? Yes, of course. But could it also have an impact on civil freedom? So saith the founders. So said the founders that all civil freedom is related to religious freedom. In other words, the only thing that makes freedom freedom is leave religion alone. Did the colonists do that? Did 17th century England do that? Never. Nobody ever in the history of the church let the church go free voluntarily. Never. The only way you could do it is just break away. But they used to force you to attend. I wish we would do that, to tell the truth. I really wish we would do that. Because I would like to, you know, give people a piece of God's mind. And they're not even here. I mean, the ones that really need it are not even here. You people are already wonderful. But there's some other people that they need to be here. Look at that whole group over there. That's the one I'm after. And Lynn, you got to get your people back. Do your best. You got Julie anyway. Thank you. Amen. God is good. Now, how can God make his church work? Because he's God. That's why. And not only will he do it, he has done it. And he's done it while you've been failing, he's actually been succeeding. What a God we have. A God who is able to watch us fumble and so on and so forth and not be mad. Not only that, to help you. And not only that, to help you against yourself. That is really amazing. You ever had a little child help you wash the car? Maybe they're two, and they got a little bucket of sand, and they see you with your bucket of water, and you're scraping it, and they're on the other side of the car with their little sand bucket, and they're washing the car off with their little sand bucket. You ever seen that? You ever seen how children can help you? And then you come around and you look at, whoa, get away! Dad, I was helping. How many know that little kids don't know how to help? But big people don't know how to help either. Don't help God out. Don't help God out. God can do it all by his lonesome. He made the world without you. He redeemed you without you. He can transform you without you. He can bring government into line without you. He can do everything he wants to do. Try to do it without him. Try to help him. No thanks. So God doesn't want us to solve all these problems because we don't know what to do with the atheist. We don't know if he should come to court or not. The founders settled that. You could not come to court if you didn't believe in God. You couldn't. You could not testify in court because your oath was dependent upon the fact that you feared God. But could you be a hypocrite and a liar and say you believed in God when you didn't? Oh, yeah, no problem. Isn't that funny? Don't you see that? That is a little bit stupid. But if a guy openly said, I don't believe in God, then he could not bring suit. He had no status. What if you were a witch? Dunked in the old pond. And if you were a witch, then you drowned. But if you weren't a witch, you came up. That's how they found out. So that was that's very effective. You have that little bucket thing, you know. Let's see if they're a witch or not. Oh, they're still alive. I'm not sure, though. So pretty soon they drown, and then, see, sure enough, a witch. And that is very good law. That's very good law. So fortunately, a lot of these dissidents, Baptists and Quakers, and I'm going to look deeply into the Baptists next week, because I want you to understand the Baptists in Virginia, the whole history of it, how it happened. It didn't start really in the 17th century. That would be the 1600s. It actually started, Roger Williams was over there in 1636. Roger Williams was over in Rhode Island. He started to be a Baptist. He created the Baptist Church. I don't know if you know that. But after a while, he realized the Baptists weren't scriptural. I mean, he started it, and then he realized it wasn't it. But he actually started out as an Anglican. And then he became not a Presbyterian, but almost he became a Puritan. But then he decided to be a separatist, like a pilgrim. And then he decided, and on and on and on, until he finally became a Baptist. And then he decided not to even be one of those, because he kept checking the scriptures. Well, anyway, so that was the beginning of the Baptist Church. Most Baptists don't talk about him any longer, but he actually created the Baptist Church in America. But I've given maybe 8 messages on him 2, 3, 4, 5 years ago, and you can go and listen to them if you want. They're excellent. They're very good. They're detailed. But the Baptist Church kept it going anyway. And in the 18th century, Isaac Backus, about the time of the Revolution, prior to, and then another man, used to start talking to James Madison and Thomas Jefferson. And because of them today, we have something that nobody ever had before, which is true freedom of the church. Separate the church from the state. Never had happened since Constantine. Never had happened. And it wasn't just toleration. Like, we're the official church and we're going to tolerate you. Or, we're the official church and we don't tolerate you. However, if you come and get a license, Mother May I, then we'll recognize you as a dissident church, but still you'll have some privileges. Not as much as a real tolerated church, like an Anglican, and not as much as the official established church, like whatever it was. In Virginia, it was the Anglican Church. In Massachusetts, it was the Presbyterian Church, and so on and so on. So each state had its own. The Catholics had Maryland, and so on and so forth. But those things all changed as time went on, and people began to go across denominational lines. But that's all later in the 19th century. In the 18th century, which we're looking at now, we're looking at the 17th century as it produced nothing. It was a complete failure. Here you had kings, that didn't work. Then you got rid of kings, that didn't work. Then you back to kings, that didn't work. And finally they set up a limited monarchy with William and Mary, 1688. That was when William III of Orange came across with Mary, who was the daughter of James, who was Roman Catholic, who fled the scene after a couple of years. Now, people were hoping James would come back. You've ever heard of the Jacobins? Jacob, or Jacob, that it means Jacob, which means James, or it can mean John. So James was ousted, and he had the happiest life ever back in France. And he was a merry type of guy. In other words, he liked being Catholic because you could sin all you wanted and you could always go to Mass and get the thing taken care of. Protestants have to carry it around until they get rid of it with God. But a Catholic just goes, you know, that's a neat deal. And I remember growing up, the Catholics had that advantage. They could sin anything they wanted to all week long. They just go to confession, clean as a whistle. Where Protestants had to carry it around. So I didn't want to be either. I wanted to sin without being Catholic or Protestant. Then I didn't have to worry about it. Do you all see that? Brilliant. Do you see the brilliance of that? So anyway, James ended up joie de vivre. He had the happy life. Of course, his wife had no husband, really. And, you know, it was typical of kings not to have happy wives just because of the whole business. And that's still true today. Diana found that out. Marriage is not marriage for a king. That's just simply a convenience. It's a political statement of some sort. So, you know, I remember the hour and the day when Diana was asked with her new husband at her side, what's it like to be in love? And she went on and on, oh, it's wonderful, it's so wonderful. And everybody thought, oh, hallelujah. And then they went to Charles, what do you think of love? Ah, what's love? The guy was awesome. You know, love. he was not going to lie. He didn't want to lie. He already had, you know, woman on the side and all this stuff. And he wasn't going to lie that it was this romantic fairy tale thing. And that was the end of their marriage right there. It just started. I remember it vividly. I mean, I saw it with my own eyes. It was powerful. It was great. I saw it. That's the end of that guy's marriage. That used to be me. I used to talk like that. What is love? Peg, what is love? Hollywood, is that what you're thinking? You know, and I would have to take that away, otherwise she'd be looking at me as being a loser. Because I wasn't a lover. I loved myself and not her. Do y'all see that? Isn't that wonderful? Now, unless you're a hypocrite, you might want to judge me. But you see, only God could love somebody that doesn't love somebody. But God loved me. Isn't that amazing? Now I love God. Now I love Peggy. Now Peggy loves me. That's funny. I never loved anybody. And all of a sudden, God changed me by loving me. We love because he first loved us. That's what the Bible says. So if someone imagines you have natural love, you're a liar, God says. Only God is love. No one else is good except God. No one else can love. Did you know you cannot love without God? Did you know that? I mean, I knew that because I knew I couldn't love. Nor did I want to. Nor did I try to. If she would say, you don't love me, I would go, true. Next. You know, what else? What do you want to talk about? Why don't you love me? I don't know. I just don't. I mean, I don't know. What's wrong with you? We went together for 5 years. Didn't you figure that out? Now, let me ask you something. Well, do you love me? No. Just, do you love me? I just want to find out. You know I don't love you. But do you love me? And especially, do you love me not loving you? Do you love me? Well, 7 hours later, because women don't like to admit they're wrong. Did you ever find that out? Did you ever find that out? I mean, men are just bottom line. I was. Just, I don't. Do you? I guess not. No, don't guess. Do you love me? Am I thrilling to you? Do you really love me thrillingly? Because that's her standard, you know, because she could tell I couldn't. Do you love me? No. Good. So we're even. So what's the problem? So let's just live together and have a good time. You do the cooking, and I'll go out and work and whatever. What's the big deal? Does anyone love anyone? I would have to go through all that all the time, but fortunately it only happened every 6 months. Do you all understand what I'm saying? You don't like it. You don't like it because you don't like reality. But I'll tell you something. Jesus did not come for the righteous. He came for sinners. And you are all sinners. In fact, the pitiful thing is you're as pitiful as I am. But you just lie to yourself more than I did. You lie to yourself and say, well, I'm more loving than that, Pastor Jim. Really? I would like to live with you for 2 or 3 days. Because I'll drive that out of you in minutes. You're a liar, that's all. You don't have anything more than I do. Besides, God doesn't agree. He says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's what he said. And he said, I'm not coming back with someone with sin. So you can't have less sin than me or more sin than me. That's irrelevant. If you have any sin, you're out. So how many here have some sin? Ah, you see? You see? No, wait, I didn't get everybody's hand. How many have some little bitty sin? I mean, not a big one, but just a little one. Insignificant, of course. Julia? Thank you. Because I'm also a prophet and I was about to prophesy, but you know, since. So we're all even. All have sinned. All killed him. All. Why? Because he wanted you to. He wanted you to. Why? So he could forgive you. So he could give you a free gift. If you didn't deserve it, then it would be a gift. If you did deserve it, it'd be a wage. He didn't want to pay a wage. You can never obligate God. Whatever he does because he wants to. Isn't that interesting? You can't ever obligate him. I did something for you. Really? What? Remember that group that came to him at last? He said, Lord, we did this and we did that and we did, you know, miracles and signs and wonders and so on. He said, depart from me, you evildoer. Get out of here. Why did he say that? Because you can't do anything. Apart from me, you can do nothing. He already said that earlier. Did you forget? Well, I know, but I got born again. Oh, that helps. How many know that born again doesn't help a thing? That you're born again just means Jesus loves you as a sinner. It doesn't change you. You still are a sinner. Even after you're born again. Has anybody noticed that after you're born again, you still are lustful, angry, bitter, jealous, envious? Has anybody noticed that? Fearful, worried, depressed. Has anybody noticed that? You can be a Christian and be depressed. Do y'all see that? It's okay. It's just a sin. It's just wrong. You just don't know. You're ignorant. Because Jesus said there's no condemnation. And he said, once I set you free, you're free. Well, in my case, I don't just believe that here intellectually. I believe that in my heart. I believe I'm free, then I'm free, then I'm free. I believe God loves me. That's why I can tell you all the sins in the world wouldn't matter to me at all. Because I don't play to people. Why? Because you can't please people. Has anyone discovered that? You cannot please people. I mean, dogs, no problem. But people, oh, that's a real problem. You cannot please anybody. Now, little kids always try, but it only works for a short period of time. And after a while, at 11 and 12, they don't even try. They begin doing things you don't want them to do and saying things you don't want them to say and watching things you don't want them to watch and listening to things and so on. They're becoming an independent of you person, which proves you were a good parent if they could become independent. But when you're a bad parent, you don't want them to become independent. You want to still control them as though they were 7 when now they're 16 or 18. You cannot control people. Has anybody discovered that? So you can't please people. First of all, they're not that impressed with you. Now, they may love you, but they don't trust you. Did you know that? You can love somebody you don't trust. Now, I'll say it better. You can only love people you don't trust. Why? Because you can't trust anybody except me. I'm the only exception to that. But other than that, you can't trust people. Why? Because only God. Put your trust in the Lord. Happy is the man that trusts in the Lord. Why? He's the only one that's faithful. He's the only one that isn't forced to do anything. He just wants to love you, and he does. Do you know you're loved by God? Because that will change your life. Now, the 18th century began with some really interesting things. Here's some things that happened. First of all, nobody could work out this religious problem. And to this day, nobody has worked this out. It has not been worked out. It's a simple thing. Real simple. Because God worked it out in the beginning. Leave the church alone. Just leave it alone. But everybody wants to monkey with it. But I would say this, and I'm totally accurate. I would say that it's never the world that wants to control the church, though that's what you think. I would say it's always the church that wants to whore with the beast. Now, what I just said doesn't sound right. You would think that the beast is the man, the male, whereas the female, that's the bride. So you would think it's the beast that comes and attacks the woman. Wrong. According to Scripture, you cannot show one exception. It is always the woman that winks, never the man that aggresses. Now, scripturally, this is God's point of view. It's not the world that bothers him, the sinful, wicked, nasty world. It's his own bride that won't stay bridal. He can't bridle his bride. That's his problem. So here's what the Bible says. Let judgment begin in the household of God. They even asked Jesus, Jesus, are you going to take over the world right now? You know, you're going to set up your kingdom? He said, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father himself has fixed, but you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Now, that power was not given to make you speak in tongues and lengthen your legs and be happy. That power was given to make you holy, which is judgment on your wickedness. You are the one he's after. You are the light of the world and you're dull. You are the light of the world, but you're not very bright. You are not showing the world. They can't see that this is what they ought to be or need to be or should be. Our families are not in order. Our lives are not in order. We're crazy people. Now, it's all right. He forgives all those sins as Savior. But as Lord, he has no one to Lord. Why? Because you're still Lord's. Even though you sin and he forgives all the sin, the tree that made all that sin is what he's after. Why are you still the Lord of your own life? Why do you control your own life? Why do you want to decide when to be happy? Why do you want to decide, you know, what to do, when to do, and how to do it? Do y'all see this? Hey, Bill. So God is good. Now, I want to read some things from the early 18th century. What year are we? Early 18th century. Remember the Georges? George the First, George the Second, George the Third. Do you remember all those Georges? Don't be looking at Bill and his people. Look over here at me. This is my time. I don't have much time, but I'm going to take the most of it. Okay. Now, George III is the guy that we broke away from. George III was a crazy king. He went crazy. But you look at his parents and so on, you can see he's crazy for a reason. But those first kings, George I and George II, now we're in the 1700s, it's the beginning. Queen Mary only lived 6 years, William and Mary, and then she died. So then it was William, and he was not well liked. So after him, but he did something great. He tolerated, he made an act of toleration, which allowed then the Anglican Church in Virginia to tolerate Baptists. No, they wouldn't, but they would tolerate Presbyterians. So they began, at least they began, but pretty soon the Baptists who didn't care, they just said, I don't care. They began just to preach anyway. Hey, you can't preach there. Hey, get out or you're going to prison right now. And furthermore, we're throwing you out of this colony. They just come right back. So they weren't afraid. I'll tell you, when you're a Christian, you're not afraid. Perfect love casts out all fear. Are you fearless? Say it, I'm fearless.
I'm fearless.
I know you're not, but say it. Say it. It helps to say it. I'm not afraid of anything. Who's afraid of the big bad wolf? You know, nobody's afraid of the big... Are you afraid? Nah, see? That's good. Powerful. Are you afraid? No. He knew what the right answer was. So you don't want to be afraid. Jesus said, fear not. Fear not. Fear not. You know what he said? Fear not. You know, it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Don't be afraid. Don't worry about what man can do. He can kill the body. That's the most he can do. How many know that doesn't mean anything? Kill the body doesn't mean anything. Oh, I can see you don't quite believe that. All right. It doesn't mean anything. This, don't you have a good God?
Amen.
So if you died, you just go to heaven. Why are you afraid? Why would anyone be afraid of going to heaven? Is this world where your stake is? You have all your stake down here? Okay, let's watch you and see how well you do. Because if you put your life here, if you put your love here, if you trust here, you're going to be hurt, disillusioned, painful. Show me any civilization that has lasted. Show me anything that works. Nothing works. The history of mankind is the history of war, adultery, murder, yeah, all kinds of awful things. It's not the history of wonderful things happening. The only history that makes history work is God's interruption, his hand, where he interrupts and gets done. Holy doctrine, holy life, holy churches, free churches, whatever. Now, when God does a thing, he always gets it done in the worst of circumstances. If he could work with you, he could work with anybody. No, really. Think about it. Raise your hand if you know what I'm saying. That's true. If he could work with you, I mean, really, if he could subdue you where you fell in love with him, where you actually were no longer a person, you didn't have a will of your own, a mind of your own, emotions of your own, happy all the time, clear all the time, strong to do the right thing all the time. How many know that's not exactly a description of you? But that could be if what? If you do something? I just told you not to do anything. If you feel guilty for not being? No, I just told you not to feel guilty. So when you do wrong, don't feel guilty. And when you do wrong, don't change anything. Just look at him. Just go to him. Come into the light. God, I'm a screw up. I'm a mess. I did it all wrong. Don't have clues what to do next. You do it. That's what God loves. He loves that. He just gets excited and says, good, turn it all over to me. Let go of everything. Let me take care of it. How many know we're scared of that? We're scared of that. We do not trust him. So the issue is not obedience, it's trust. The reason you don't obey is because you don't trust. Trust and obey, for there's no other way. Remember that song? Well, because you don't trust him, oh, I trust him as Savior. He'll forgive my sins. I just don't trust him as Lord running my life. Does that make sense? Do you all see that? A lot of us trust him as Savior, like I sinned, forgive that, thanks. Got that covered. But I don't want you to actually run my life. I want to run part of it. How much? Maybe 90%. 90%? All right, 100%. We don't want God to run any of it. We just want him to save us and forgive us for running our own lives and ruining them. Isn't that amazing? God, here's all I ask of you. Just let me ruin my life and don't interrupt. I don't know. He doesn't like that idea. He feels he's Lord, and he wants to be Lord of everyone he saves. Isn't that amazing? Do you think he'll succeed or fail? He'll succeed, but it has to be against you. It's going to have to be over your dead body. How many know? It will have to be, God, I'll serve you, but it'll be over my dead body. Good. Very good. You're catching on. Because God knows how to killeth a man. Do you know that God knows how to killeth a man? And you don't know how to killeth yourself? You're real good like going like this. Okay. And you're just pretending though. Because you really don't want to die. What you really want to do is live. That's why most people go to churches to get something that'll help them. Not that'll kill them. But here you come to die. In other words, give up. You don't have anything. You don't know anything. Everything is a gift. The reason you're not happy is because you're trying to keep your life. Lose your life, you'll find it. Keep your life, you'll lose it. You want to be in control of your marriage? You want to be in control of your business? You want to be in control of your life? Great, go for it. See how well you do. I guarantee you, I will just wait around. I guarantee you, you'll be back. Because you cannot succeed. I know that. I don't need to succeed because I've already succeeded. I don't even need to see it. I guarantee you, everyone sooner or later will come to an end of themselves. It won't even be God that does it. You will do it yourself. I don't know what I'm doing. Has any one of you, have you ever said that to yourself? Geez, I don't know what I'm doing. Yeah. Have you ever said that? Oh my gosh. You guys are smarter than all these adults. That is amazing. Because after those, you know, young people are smart. Because they quickly try to do something and find out they can't. I used to be a youth leader, and I always used to see who could eat more pancakes, me, the youth leader, or all of those hungry boys. And they knew they could eat more pancakes than Pastor Jim, but I always beat them. Then I said, let's see how many pull-ups can you do? Ah, they know they can beat me on that one, because I'm a skinny little pastor. But I just kept doing those pull-ups. I loved embarrassing them. Because they knew they could do it, but they couldn't. Isn't God funny? So God knows you can't do anything. He knows it. You can't find happiness. He wants you to be happy. You want to be happy, but you can't get it. Happy is the man that trusts in the Lord. If you trust in God, you'll find happiness. That's all, isn't it, Bill? That's it. Trust in God. Trust in God. You trust in yourself, what's going to happen? Not going to work. So, listen to this. These are quotes that are taken out of the 18th century at the time of the Georges. Okay? Here's one. By religious freedom, or soul liberty, these are Baptists, is meant the natural and inalienable right of every soul, I mean every self, every person, to worship God according to the dictates of his own conscience. Did you know that's the same as Article 1-6 in the Texas Constitution? Every man has a natural and indefeasible right to worship God according to the dictates of his own conscience. In other words, everybody's free without government. No government involved. Today, government's involved in everything. But here's what the Constitution says. Every man has a natural and indefeasible. That's natural, given by nature. It's written into you. It's inherent. And indefeasible. You cannot defeat it. So even if the government says they take it away, they can't. You still are going to answer to God and God alone. You all understand that? To worship God according to the dictates of your own conscience. So the Anglican Queen Elizabeth can't tell me what to believe. And she said I can't. She admitted that readily. She just wanted me to outwardly conform. All she wanted was hypocrites. And that's why the Anglican Church is loaded with hypocrites. And so is the Presbyterian, the Lutheran, and the Methodist, and so on. But not ours. Ours not. But all the other ones. We have the real. We have the real, genuine Christians. Is that true, sister? We're genuine. Amen. That's good. Appreciate that. All right. By religious freedom or soul liberty, in other words, you have freedom from all man, including governments, is meant the natural and indefeasible or inalienable right of every soul to worship God according to the dictates of his own conscience and to be unmolested in the exercise of that right, so long at least as he does not infringe upon the same right in others. So, you not only have this right, but you have a right against the government to not allow anyone else, including themselves, to molest you. To molest you. In other words, they don't get to make any laws. That was the foundation, 100 years later, the foundation of our Constitution. The federal Constitution, Texas, 150 years later, Texas, same thing. Where did they get the language? Right there, from the Baptists. No one else spoke like this. No Anglican ever spoke like this. No Lutheran ever spoke like this. They were afraid, scared to death to ever let the church go free. No state could even exist without its own official religion. They would never set the churches free. But the Americans were the first country ever in the history of the world to set up a free church. Say, let's just leave religion alone. We cannot figure it out. Brilliant. That was a brilliant stroke right there. But today, the churches are again in bondage. Whose fault? Churches. Not the civil. Not the IRS. They're only responding to us lusting after the benefits and things of this world. We want a federal 501c3. We want a local tax exemption. We want to have incorporation into the state so they don't persecute us. We want all that. Federal, state, local, everything. We want all of that. Well, you know what? When you take a benefit from somebody, you pay for it. Only God gives free gifts. Everybody else doesn't give free gifts. It always has a string attached. And when you take anything from the government, you are now a creature of that government. If you take a penny, you are now subject to the government. Whether it's for a penny or for whatever, you may not be smart enough to figure out, well, I'll be dependent to an extent. As a Christian, you cannot even be to one iota under the lordship of this world. My kingdom is not of this world, Jesus said. Not of means not of. That's like not of, like no part of. Do y'all understand the word not of? Is there anything you don't understand in that word? My kingdom is not of this world. So anything of this world could not be true of his church. Anything true of the church must not be true of the world. They have to be absolutely separated, left alone. Don't touch them. They're of another alien race, a kingdom that has nothing to do with us. How many know that churches don't like that idea? They like to belong to God and to this world. They like to have their donations completely guaranteed by the IRS. They like to have their local taxes. They don't want to pay taxes and so on. So they like to own their own building in their own name. That's called incorporation. When you have legal incorporation, you are no different than an established church. The very thing we got away with is the very thing that we're now back into. Anytime you ask for anything, by the way, you have to get state incorporation in order to get a 501c3. If you weren't state incorporated first, you could not get a 501c3, nor could you get a local tax exemption. So the one is dependent upon the other. So state incorporation is your first whoredom. And when you do that, you now have a spot and a wrinkle in any such thing. So how can you name one church in town that doesn't have that? We don't, yes. But other churches do. Why is that important? I don't know. If you don't fear God, it's not important, but I fear God. Am I afraid of him? No. He's the one that loves me. That's why I fear him. I fear him is the same as to say I love him. In other words, it's like loving your wife. I don't want to do anything that hurts her. If I love her, if I don't love her, I don't care. And I used to not, so I know exactly what that means. I used to know exactly what that means. If my mom had died when I was young, I'd have just said, oh, where are my pajamas? You know, I mean, it wouldn't have mattered to me because I didn't love. Do you understand what someone who doesn't love looks like? Me. Now, cold as a snake, without any guilt, without any whatever moral people have. I had no morals. Whatever religious people, I had no religion. I had no fear of God, no fear of man, didn't care. Now, that all has to do with my background. So, it's just psychological. But the truth is, you're just like it. I don't care what your background is. Everybody's cold. That's what God says. None is good but God. None is good. None, that word none is like no, not one. That means you aren't. None is good but God means you're not good. Has anyone discovered that you're not good? I'm not even saying you're not perfect. I'm just saying you're not good at all. You're good for nothing. Let's just say that because I know you don't want to say it. So let's just say that. I'm good for nothing. Well, at least you're good. You're good for nothing. In other words, there's no reason to be good because you aren't good anyway. But here's the deal. God, who is good, loves you. Before he made you, after you sinned, he still loves you. After you didn't benefit at all by his salvation because you still sinned, he still loves you. And after you mess up all over the map, he still loves you and he's still going to get his way. And he's going to do it with you. He's not going to say, oh, I think I'll work with angels. No, not going to work with angels, going to work with you. Isn't that amazing? You have a God that'll never give up on you. I'll never leave you or forsake you. Isn't that amazing? That'll change your life. That'll change your life. God will never give up on you no matter what. You could mess up all the way. I'm not encouraging you. I'm not encouraging you. You could mess up all the way from here to kingdom come. He would still love you. I'm not encouraging you because you don't need any encouragement. But it's okay. Don't be afraid of that. There's no condemnation for them that are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the, what? Flesh, but after the Spirit. Well, maybe I don't, Pastor. Maybe I walk after the flesh. Psychologically, physically, yes, you do. But spiritually, you don't. So who are you? You're a spirit man. Now, if you're a spirit man, you happen to have a soul and you happen to have a body, and we don't see a lot of improvement, whose fault is that if there's no improvement? Pastors. It's exactly right. You thought I was going to say you. Wrong. If Pastor Jim messes up, it's not your fault. Even though you're at fault, God will blame the man he assigned to tell you the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, to the death. Now, if the pastor fails, and I don't see how I could, but if the pastor would fail, then you are in trouble. But how many know I'm like a solid rock, a really reliable type person? Amen. I mean, that's why you're all here. Otherwise, be somewhere else. No, you are not even dependent on me. What you're dependent upon is the office I hold. The office I hold, I may not fulfill it. I may fulfill it. But don't check me out to find out. Check God out. Because the only one that can make me do the office, which would be to kill me. Basically, when you fulfill an office, like husband to wife, pastor to flock, president to country, whenever you fulfill an office, the only requirement is your death. In other words, don't do what you want to do for your own advantage, but do what the one who put you into the office charged you with for the sake of another. That's called a trust. When you enter into a trust, you're under that trust, and if you fail of that trust, the office is still good, but you failed, they'll just boot you out, alter it, and put someone else in that will do what he wanted. Adam was a bad trustee, so he put Jesus in his place. Adam did not do what God said to do, but that's all right. He did. You know what he did to Adam? He didn't kill him. What he did was just move him to the side and made him a beneficiary and said, Jesus, you be Adam's savior. That's not a bad thing. That's a good king. Did you notice how good God was there? God wanted Adam to obey him. He did not. The very thing he said to do, he didn't do. The very thing he said not to do, he did do. Is that not your story? You are children of Adam. So every man is a child of Adam just by birth. And women are first. I just wanted to point that out. Women are the worst. They're the ones that ate that apple. I don't know if Adam would ever have done that. I just have a feeling guys wouldn't do that, would we? I love the way Adam ate the apple. Eve, you weren't supposed to eat that apple. It's really good. Okay. No guilt, no nothing. He didn't even have a snake to inspire him. He just ate the thing. That's a woman. I see that woman tricked him. She tricked him into it. And he pointed it out to God. The woman you gave me. You gave me that woman. That she tricked me. How many know that women trick you? Women do. They trick you. Come on. We have a lot of women here. Women are trickers. Amen? Men are just plain liars. Women are more treacherous liars. You know, they're more gifted at it, more subtle. They look nicer when they're doing it. Oh, poor God. No, God loves it. Do you know he loves you? He doesn't care. You're his kids. It's up to the Father to train you, not you to train yourself. If you ever learn, it'll only be because God has helped you. He forgave you, then he helped you. Isn't that a good God? I love this God. Religion is and must be a voluntary service. Only such service is acceptable to God. In other words, if you're a Christian because you have to be, you're just doing a duty, God doesn't like it. Then it's just lip service, but your heart is far from him. He doesn't like that. So that's a cancel out. Nope. So religion must always be voluntary, just like my wife. Jim, do you love me? Yes. Are you just saying that by faith? Yes. Oh. Well, so you don't feel it? No. And you don't want to actually do anything? No. And you don't do anything? No. Now, see, that bothered my wife, that I said it, but I didn't do anything or want to do anything or feel like doing it. That bothered her. She thought that was a hypocrite. No, Peg, I'm saying it because I believe it. But that's all. You just believe it. You don't feel it and think it and do it and want to do it. No, that's God's part. Well, when does he do? I don't know. How would I know? I'm not God. I don't know how he works it. But I think he's out to kill me. I think once he gets me killed, I'll probably have all that. Well, then what happened was one day as I was praying, God just gave me a feeling. And I had a feeling. I felt love for the first time. Literally. And so I just went and told her, Peg, I love you. I said, do you feel it? Yes. I said, wait. You feel it? Yes, I do. She was horrified, shocked, you know, surprise. Do you want to do something good? No. So now you believe it and you're now saying it and you're thinking it, but you still don't want to do it. No. And so are you going to do anything? No. What? I'm waiting on God. You can't wait on God. You're supposed to do it. No, if I do, I'd be a hypocrite. I don't want to be a hypocrite. I don't want to just say it lip service. So you got to rely on God. Look to God. Don't look to me. Well, another day, all of a sudden I wanted to do it. I still didn't do it, though. And she asked, you want to do it, but you don't really do it? No. And then another day, God said to me, today you're going to do it. No, I'm not. Yes, you are. No, I'm not. Yes, you are. Dead. And then all of a sudden, I went and did it. And so when I, this was earth shaking. This was life changing. I not only wanted to do it, I did it. I felt it. I thought it. I said it. It was a miracle. I'm just telling you, it's a miracle. I'd never done that in my life. Felt good about it. So I brought her a real worthless gift. I mean, it wasn't worth anything. Just brought her a gift, said, Peg, this is a token of my love to you. She looked at it. And being a hypocrite, she just simply looked at it and went, okay. And I went, do you like it? And she's a hypocrite, but she isn't real good at being a hypocrite for long. So she said, well, this is actually not the color I like. And so I could get you another one. But she didn't like the whole gift. But she just doesn't want to come straight out and say it. This stinks. So she took the little gift and pretended. She's just pretending. She pretended like, well, thank you. That's for the thought. You love me now. But I could tell she felt, if that's love, that stinks. But she wouldn't say it. She wouldn't say it because she doesn't like to come out. But then in the other room, there was a whole room full of stuff that she wanted. And she started to cry. She started to bawl. Then she realized I'd played a trick on her. That actually I'd given her that to bring out all of her hatred toward me. What if I'd given her the nice gift first? She'd have thought I was a wonderful fellow. But I wanted her to be a hypocrite and a liar just like me. So what a wonderful husband I was. Do y'all see that? You see, God loves it when we don't deserve what he gives us, but it's really genuinely true. And she had no hope in me. She had no thought that I would ever change, ever do anything. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing that you can misjudge a person? Here I am, a nice, wonderful fellow. But, you see, God can do anything. But if that's just talk, it's worth nothing. My wife was right. I shouldn't just say it. I should also think it. I shouldn't just think it. I should also feel it. I should say it. I should do it. I should want it. She should get the whole thing and everything. And not only that, she wanted it every day. That was amazing to me. You mean this one gift won't last for the rest of our lives? That is amazing to me. That spatula was on sale. You mean that's not going to satisfy you? What will make you satisfied always? That was a question she could not answer. Isn't that a clever question I asked? I mean, just tell me the thing I could get you so that I never have to get you anything after this. Just what would it be? That's not what she wanted. She wanted me completely, totally to always love her and always say I loved her and always feel it and always do things. Peg, that's impossible. Only God could do that. That's what I want. I thought that was funny. Did y'all see that? This is not a joke. This is actually our lives. So I said, if that's what God wants, it'll be done. But if it's just what you want, it won't be done. So if that's what you need, I think you need Jesus. But you say you need me. I don't want Jesus, she said. I want Jesus through you. If he can kill you, I believe in Jesus. That only took about 15 years. And 15 years later, she had what she wanted. Isn't that amazing? Has anybody been patient like that? That was after 25 years of abuse, then 15 years of vengeance. And then, finally, she got what she wanted. I would say that's a successful life. If Peggy were here, of course, I can say this because she's not here. She's up with the daughter and the grandchildren, so she's having a good time. But she actually is in love. Why? Because of God. Because of the way God, through Jim, the very thing she asked for, which was wrong. It was wrong of her to ask for my death in order for her to live. That was wrong. But the very thing she asked for actually happened, and I'm in love. Isn't that funny? I mean, I feel it. I mean, I want to. I mean, I do it. That is powerful. To God be the glory. Is that your life? That could be your life. Could you be happy for the rest of your days? Could you? It's a decision. It's not a decision of obedience. It's a decision of trust. Do you trust that that was God's vision for you? Do you know why you were created? Do you know why you were redeemed? Do you know why the Holy Spirit is at work in you? To make you Christ-like in every way, not in heaven to come, but on this earth. How many believe that that's possible? It's not only possible, it's the only reality. That's what God is doing. He's changing you, not by any changes. I don't want you to feel guilty. I don't want you to feel bad. I don't want you to change. I don't want you to do anything. I want God to do what God said. He is a covenant-keeping God. If he makes a promise, he will. And I'm telling you right here, he set churches free. He did not want the Roman Catholic Church to rule the earth. He did not want the Protestant churches, state churches of Europe to rule the earth. He did not want the dissident Quakers and Anabaptists and Baptists and so on to rule the earth. He did not want the other religions, Jewish. He did not want the pagans, the Muslims, the Hindus, the Buddhists. He didn't want any of those religions to rule. He wanted to rule himself. And he certainly didn't want the atheists and the agnostics and the three thinkers and all the junk we have today. He didn't want any of those people to rule. And you know what? He's winning. I don't care what you think. You may think that he's losing. You just don't travel. Get out of America. Get out of Europe. Go anywhere else in the world. I will show you there's a million people every 10 days coming to Jesus Christ in every nation. Muslim nations, Hindu nations, Buddhist nations, atheist nations, communist nations. I don't care where you go. That's exactly why I travel the world, to see those things firsthand. I wish Chad were here because Chad went with me on a big trip that we took at one time. Go to Israel. Go anywhere in the world. In Israel, there are more Jewish people who are coming to Yeshua as their HaMashiach, their Messiah, than ever before in the history of Judaism. Than ever before. I mean, in our own day, right now. And they are not only the common man on the street Jewish person, they are not only the secular Jew from Tel Aviv, they are also the Orthodox rabbis in Jerusalem and the leaders of Israel. And I can't tell you anymore because there are people in power today who I know things about that you don't know about. And you will be surprised that God is working out his purposes just like he said. So the best is yet to come. Do not think America is being judged right now. Of course she's being judged. But don't think that that's judgment. What it is separating this from that. You couldn't do it. The church never did it. But God is doing it using a stick, using something awful. He's actually accomplishing something wonderful. How do you know that all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord? Did you know everything's going our way? Zippity-doo-da, zippity-hey, my oh my. Is that your attitude? Is that your attitude? Could it be any better than it is? I didn't say, did it look any better? I just said, could it be any better? Could things be any better? God created you. Jesus redeemed you on the cross. The Holy Spirit's at work in you, and you have Pastor Jim. What more could you want? I don't know what more you could want. How could you be any happier than you are today? That's a choice. If you want to choose to be happy today, that's your choice. Will you choose it? Powerful. From now on, you'll be happy. All the time. No matter what. No. Okay, you want to take that back a little bit? Okay. No, it's okay. How about you? Do you want to be happy? Okay, from now on, no matter what? You're not sure? Okay, all right, it's okay. I'll see if I can get one. What about you? You ready to be happy? You'll try? You just don't want to make a decision that I will be happy. With God's help, I'll be happy. Will you say that? Yeah, you can say that. So all the reliance is on God doing it. Okay, you can do that? Cool. You think he could do that? Could he actually make you happy? How about you? Right away. It's good. I like that. How about you? Yes, you're not sure. You would like it, but you're not sure you could pull it off.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking, too. I was thinking that. It's just a choice. You want to be happy all the time, Crystal?
Yes.
Take your eyes off a man. Take your eyes off yourself. Put your eyes on Jesus. Will, you want to be happy all the time? Can you do it? You can't, but he can. For you, in you, through you. Let him do it all. Lynn, you want to be happy all the time?
Yes.
All the time.
Yes.
Amen. That is possible. That is not impossible. In the midst of this rotten world with their sins, your sins, Satan's sins, you can still rejoice always. How? By being dead to everything. Just ignore it. Take every thought captive to the Word of God. Just don't think on things that are awful and terrible. I mean, they're there. You think on it. But don't dwell on it. Dwell on what the Lord hath done for you. If he just forgave you your sins, that's enough. Just to forgive your sins, that's enough. But also to give you the Holy Spirit and transform you in this world so that you actually see fruit, that's more. That's what he's doing in history. I guarantee you, everything God wanted to do, he's doing it. He wanted to restore pure doctrine, he did. He wanted to make holy life happen for individuals, he did. He wanted to have free churches, he did. And we are seeing the fruit of it to this day. World evangelism, he did. What about the power of the Holy Spirit? He did. What about the structure of the church, to restructure his church to be like a bride rather than like a harlot? He did. What about pure worship? He did. Now, you may not know that, but I'm telling you, history, loud and clear, shows that God did everything he wanted to do to restore his church to its original purity. And to bring it now to its final maturity so that he can come back. Jew and Gentile joined together. The Jewish people today are coming. The rabbi that I'm meeting with regularly wants to keep meeting. He's got the biggest synagogue in Fort Worth. Huge. Monstrous. Hewlin Street. He likes me. Isn't that amazing? What for? I'm a Christian. He's not a Christian. He doesn't believe in Jesus. But it's funny. Because you never know what God's going to do. And since I believe that his destiny is not, you know, to go to hell because he's Jewish, but rather his destiny is actually to be as happy as I am, as full as I am, and to receive everything I receive. I'm no better than he is. It's just a matter of faith. Remember, Jesus didn't say this. If you'd only believed in me, you'd be saved. He didn't say that. You know what he said? If you had believed Moses, you'd believe me. Your problem is not me. It's Moses. Now, the Jewish people just have to believe what Jewish people believe. They just don't believe. That's not a problem. God can work that out, and God is working it out, and that's why there are so many rabbis coming now to Yeshua. Baruch haba b'shem Adonai. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. That was Jesus. And when he came, they rejected him, killed him, sliced him up. It's okay. Jesus forgave him. Remember that? Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Did you know that you hurt the people you love? Do you know that they hated themselves so much that they killed him? Which is exactly what he wanted. It's exactly what he wanted. And what made my wife turn, and what makes anyone turn, is not that I loved her because she was going to change. It's that God changed me first, eliminated me, so that I loved her unconditionally, no conditions. Didn't want her to change, didn't want her to fix up, didn't want her to do anything. And because I didn't, she did. Why? Because she said, what if I was mean and nasty like you've been? Go ahead and do it. Well, I mean, really. Yeah, go ahead and do it. I'll forgive you. I'm a Christian. So she started doing it. Hey, Peg, what are you doing? So I thought you unconditionally loved me. Well, yeah, but that hurts. Good. Don't you think that's a perfect wife? Do you not see that's a perfect wife? First time in her life she was allowed to say something mean and nasty like that. Why? Not because she didn't believe I loved her, but because she did. So she wanted to test it. Okay, I'm going to test you. Only took 15 years. That testing was beautiful. Bill, how many years you got? 16? You're all right then. You'll have one good year at the end there. No, when you love somebody unconditionally, it breaks them. It's not hatred and force and manipulation that breaks people. It's love. Love is a killer. Love is always able to destroy hatred. Light always beats darkness. Truth always beats lie. If you think this world's going to hell in a handbasket, you're wrong. It's actually God who's winning. Last story. When I was in Nigeria, I remember 30 years ago, Nigeria was being purchased by the Muslims to become a Muslim nation. Even older than that, back in the 60s, Life magazine had a picture of all the Christians of the East, not North and not West. One third of the nation was Christian. They were called the Igbo people. And they were being slaughtered. That was called to completely eliminate all those people from the face of the earth. That was the first time Americans had ever seen close up with photographs. Life magazine had them spread all over and everybody did. That was the complete elimination of the Christians. Today, the Christians, two-thirds Christian, one-third Muslim. Billions of dollars were spent. All kinds of things happened. Never worked. I could tell you the story of Tanzania. I could tell you the story of Burundi. I could tell you the story on and on and on. Country after country that was Muslim, now Christian. Why? I even know them. I know the president of Burundi. Know him personally. Talked to him. Prayed with him. Sat with him. Never gave 45 minutes to anybody. Gave 45 minutes. He said, I've never done this, but I want to tell you my story. It's the president. He's president today. President Mobutu. Bill, you've met him. A dictator. A flesh eater. A guy that swims to the bottom of the Nile River, Congo, and eats flesh with Mitterrand. François Mitterrand, the president of France. That's how you do it, cannibalism. Do you all know that that happens all the time? That's how the wealthy and the powerful live, witchcraft. Anyway, he favored me, this same man. He was a Roman Catholic. The Jesuits would eat at my table. They always wanted to know, who is this guy? Is he CIA or who is he? Because we're going to have to kill him. But you know what happened? I'm alive. How'd that happen? Sense of humor? Is it my gift of dodge? It's nothing but God, the humor of God. Bill knows that. We were almost killed when you were there. They were gonna take us. And I could tell stories that I cannot tell. Of things that happened on an international, huge, monstrous basis. All for Texas, here. So bring it back here. Hand it to certain people here. Set up things with certain people. But, you see, God has a sense of humor. I witnessed to him. Pat Robertson was at the back of the boat with his wife, Dee Dee, my wife, Peggy, just the four of us. I witnessed to him about Jesus Christ. Pat didn't do it. I'm sorry he didn't do it. But I did. I said, Monsieur le Président, vous n'êtes pas chrétien. He said, I am. Je suis. I am. I'm a Christian. Je suis chrétien. Mais non, I said to him in French, because he only speaks French. You are not. He said, he called somebody over, Peter. Called Peter. Tell him I'm Christian, because this man loved me. This president. And I said, no, I want you to get on your knees. I want you to realize you did not take this country. The CIA did not give you this country. God put you in this seat. And I spoke to him. He's 6'4". He's huge, isn't he? He's a big boy. is big. I'm not. But I spoke to him as a father would speak. I rebuked him. I told him, you accept it and I'll wash your face. Your face is dirty. You have done all kinds of nasty things. He's a multi-billionaire. Owned at one time much of Texas. I don't know how much, but I can guarantee you it's big percent. Huge, all kinds of things, right here in Dallas as well. At any rate, as far as I'm concerned, I'm richer than he was. So I told him, you know, you need to accept Jesus Christ. Get down on your knees and accept Jesus Christ. He said, je suis catholique. Oh, mais oui. Mais, but, you're not a Christian like I understand it. You don't have a personal relationship and you're going to die lonely and afraid. I don't want that. The man did die. The man also hugged my wife and I. You cannot touch presidents. But he pulled us in on that same trip, pulled us into himself and held us because he loved us. We were like children to him. We used to hold hands with his wife and himself. You weren't with me, but we were on what is called a ship of state out in the Congo River. We used to hold hands and sing, Jesus loves me. This I know. This is a big dictator who eats flesh. He's into witchcraft. He's Roman Catholic. He's crazy. He loved me. Why? Why? I'll tell you why. Because of the Lord Jesus. And because I'm nothing. I don't want anything. I don't need anything. You can't help me. You can't hurt me. I'm not afraid. And I did a lot of favors for him. He never paid me a penny. He wanted to. They wanted to give me money. I said, no, it'll be a bribe. Even though I can take it, I can't. I won't. I won't take it. I was told by everybody, take it, because they wanted a share of it. I said, I don't want it. I don't want to be any man's man. So what I give at my own expense, on my own account. I have never taken one penny from any country, Russia, China, India, Africa. No man has ever given me anything. So what do I have? Nothing. Why? Because as a Christian, you don't need anything because God takes care of you. How many know I have everything and I have nothing? I don't really care. Do y'all understand? You say, well, Pastor, where'd you get that tie? That was my daughter. My daughter, she's next door teaching Sunday school. She buys all my nice ties. And I'll have to say, Crystal, you gave me some beautiful ties. Thank you. And many other things. So God takes care of me. You see, God takes care of me without taking care of myself. Isn't that amazing? I don't want it. I don't need it. But God may want to give me something, and that's okay, as long as it's God and there are no strings attached. But if there are, I won't take it. I will not. I wouldn't do it. It's not somebody making me not do it. I just wouldn't do it. Why? Because when you have a God who loves you, he can work out anything. Do you have that kind of faith? Do you have that kind of knowledge? Do you have that kind of certainty? Reason can't give you that. Emotion can't give you that. I'm emotionally happy. I'm intellectually clear. And I'm willfully strong because my faith is firm, built on the Word of God, that God is good. That's the only thing to know. God is good and He loves you just as you are, not fixed up. He doesn't want you to fix up. Don't feel guilty. Don't feel bad. Don't change. Don't do anything. Let God do it all. To God be the glory. You could give a testimony. Is that the same God you serve? Amen. Everything. Awesome. Dan Stevenson. Amen. Could you give a testimony?
He's my lover. He's my Lord. He's my light. He's my oxygen. He's my water. He's my everything.
Amen.
My hope, my peace, my joy, my love, my all, my everything.
Amen. It's powerful. I'm trying to look around and see if we have any more Christians. Lou, could you say a testimony? How great he is.
Said this morning is just so affirming to me that we get frustrated about government and we get overcome by what we see. And I tell other people, don't fret. God's still bigger than that.
Amen.
And I love the way you explained it this morning. And so, yes, we do what we can do in government, but He's still bigger than
Amen.
Government because
yep.
His kingdom is
Amen.
And so his kingdom is in us. We live, move, and have our being in his kingdom. And he who is in us is greater than he who is in the world.
Yep.
So it doesn't, it matters, but it doesn't matter. Famine Amen. All around. Mm. And in every famine, 66 that I counted in scriptures, God always prospers his people.
Yep.
And that's for every one of us in here.
Yep.
There is no lack in his kingdom.
Amen.
And he says they'll envy us.
Yep.
And the world out there, the government, all of the things that are so corrupt and so falling apart, we don't have to follow after that. We follow after Jesus, and we hear him say, go this way, do this, and we do things we've never done before, and he prospers them, and he brings them to maturity, and other people are saying, what is going on with you?
Amen.
Why is it so good for you? And we know why it's good for Woo-hoo. Us, because he's the only one who's good.
Amen. God is good. Anyone else? Anyone else want to testify?
Yeah.
Yes, Bill? Powerful. Powerful. The best is yet to come. He saved the best to the last. The best wine. You haven't had the best wine yet. It's going to get better and better. Don't be mad at Obama. His policies. His stupidity. His ignorance. So what? Deal with yourself. Deal with yourself. You get right yourself. Take the log out of your own eye. It'll be easy to take the speck out of someone else's eye. The problem is never political, it's never economic, and it's never social. It's always spiritual. It's always, always. With God, that's all that matters to him. You get right, God will take care of the rest. He'll give it to you. Seek first the kingdom of God, I'll give you. Not, you'll have to then fight for it. I'll give it to you. Everything else. Everything else you seek, don't seek. Seek first the kingdom of God. I'll give you everything else that you don't need to seek it. I'll just give it to you. The reason you don't have it, because you didn't seek him. And the reason you don't seek him, because you don't know him. And the reason you don't know him, because you don't know how good he is. He's gooder and better than you even can imagine. And the best is yet to come. You'll see it with your own eyes. You're going to see it and be ashamed. Wow, I should have done that long ago. I should have let go long ago. But it's all right. It's not mad at you. If you're not ready, don't be ready. Don't make yourself ready. If you're not ready, don't be ready. If you're a hypocrite, be a good one. Just be a good hypocrite. Don't worry. He's not mad at you. He will eventually win everything the way he wants it to go. Nothing's going to happen but what he's already seen. He already knows. Now it's up to you. You're totally free. You are free. I'm telling you, you are free. Do not think God's going to do this for you. You're free. Lord, I believe. You're free. Lord, I don't believe. You're free. Lord, I want. You're free. He doesn't hate it that you want. He wants you to want. But it might be smart if you'd say, I want what you want. I'm just telling you, that would be a smart move. Is God, I don't want what I want because I got what I want and I didn't get what I wanted when I wanted what I got. And so, could you just do it? And then you work it out and I trust you on that. Just write them a blank check. Well, if you're not ready, don't do it. But if you are ready today, then take it. Just say, God, you know, I've screwed my life up. I'm not that happy, really, really, not really, deep down. I kind of want to go your way, but I don't have a clue as how to, and I don't have any power to, and I don't even know if I want to, but maybe I do. But could you just work that all out? Thank you. Thank you. How many know that God loves you so much, he just wanted you to be clean with him? Come clean. Tell him you're nasty. He understands. But he loves you. Being nasty. Doesn't love you being non-nasty. Doesn't love you being non... You know, he doesn't care that you're a liar. Let God be true and every man a liar. He knows you're a liar. Just tell him, God, I'm a liar. He says, I know that. I know that, but I still love you. Not going to change my mind ever. I love all of the wicked people. I love them. They just don't know it. They're wicked because they think they're on their own trying to figure out something. It's not going to work. They're not going to be destroyed because they were wicked. They're being destroyed because they didn't accept the fact that they were wicked and let God be good. Do you see that? Do you see that? You're not a nice person. If anyone gets close to you, they will discover who you are, at least in part. So get some more masks out. Hide as best you can. Because people will sooner or later figure you out. Did you know that some people actually know you better than you know that they know you? You know, I hate that when people can see right through me. There are some people that can see right through me. That's awful. Relax. Just be yourself. God is good. All right. Crystal, close in prayer.